3 in the morning. The apartment is dark except for the faint light over the sink. She warms a bottle and sways on tired legs while the baby fusses. Her phone sits face down on the counter. No new messages. The car seat waits by the door. The second belt hangs slack. She breathes in and counts to 5. The bottle cools to the right warmth. The baby's jaw settles into a slow pull. In the quiet, she names what is true. They are here. They are fed. They will sleep again. On the table, a folder holds forms and a blank line for a last name. Her chest tightens, then loosens. She knows what to write. The choice is simple, and it is hers. When the sun climbs, there will be calls to make and a bus to catch. For now, she holds the weight that fits in her arms and lets the room be still. Chapter 1, Empty Seat. The nurse checks the straps on the new car seat and hands her a folder. Discharge papers. Feeding notes. A list of numbers to call if the baby will not settle. The hallway smells like sanitizer and coffee. She thanks everyone and wheels the bassinet to the elevator. When the doors open, the sudden quiet feels wide. Outside, the air has a cool bite. She buckles the baby in with careful hands. The tiny hat slides down over soft eyebrows. The car door closes with a gentle click. She circles to the driver's side and pauses. The passenger seat sits clean and waiting. The second belt hangs loose against the door. She looks at it for one breath, then starts the engine. The ride home is slow. Every corner is a test. She glances at the mirror again and again until the small chest rises and falls in a steady rhythm. At a red light, her phone lights up with a delivery flyer and then goes still. No new messages. The light turns green. She moves forward. The apartment smells like laundry soap and old wood. She carries the car seat to the couch and sets it down. The room is set up, but not ready. A stack of dishes leans near the sink. The crib sits built in the corner. A trash bag waits by the door for a trip she did not make yesterday. She takes off her shoes and stands in the middle of the room. The baby makes a small sound. She answers with a soft hum. The first feeding at home is plain and slow. She checks the temperature on her wrist. The baby latches and settles. She keeps one hand under the small head and watches the clock without reading it. Minutes pass in a warm blur. When the bottle is empty, she lifts and pats and waits for the soft burp that means the next thing can happen. It comes. She smiles without planning it. She lays the baby in the crib and watches for a moment longer than needed. The quiet is not empty. It is work. She moves to the sink and runs hot water. The bottles need rinsing. The pan from 2 nights ago needs scrubbing. A bill on the counter is half open. She wipes her hands and opens it all the way. Due date printed in clear type. She sets it down and opens another. Same tone. Same push. Her phone sits face down on the table. She flips it over. No calls. No reply to the last message she sent from the hospital, the one with a simple line. We're okay. He's here. She scrolls up through older threads that started with plans and ended with silence. His last words are loose and noncommittal. She exhales and sets the phone back down. The baby stirs. She moves without thinking now. Diaper. Wipe. Clean onesie. A small yawn that stretches into a full body sigh. She laughs under her breath. You're okay, she says, and means herself as well. She makes coffee she does not finish. She eats half a granola bar. She fills a glass of water and forgets where she set it. Afternoon light reaches across the floor and lands on the car seat by the door. She takes the folder out and spreads the pages. Appointment cards. Hotline numbers. A checklist that says call pediatrician within 2 days. She circles it with a pen and sets a reminder in her head. She reads the breastfeeding tips even though she is using bottles. She reads the section about sleep even though the thought of a sleep schedule makes her want to lie down on the rug and close her eyes. By evening, the room holds a new shape. The couch is a staging area. The coffee table is a supply shelf. The floor is a path she can walk in the dark without hitting her shins. She stacks clean receiving blankets. She lines up bottles by size. She puts a small bowl of pacifiers where she can grab it with one hand at 2 in the morning. The first night at home comes in pieces. She dozes with one ear open. The baby wakes and she rises. The baby cries and she rocks. The baby settles and she stands still longer than needed just to be sure. Between rounds, she sits on the edge of the bed and looks at the second pillow. It is smooth and untouched. She lifts it, then puts it back. She closes her eyes for 10 minutes. The next round begins. Near dawn, she opens the notes app on her phone. She starts a list. It is not a plan. Plans invite disappointment. This is a different thing. Things I will not chase, she writes. She stops and thinks. The first line is his name. The second line is the version of him that shows up for pictures, but not for feedings. The third line is the apology that arrives without a change in behavior. She adds one more line and closes the phone. Morning light is soft and gray. The baby sleeps with lips parted. She heats water for tea and stands at the window. A bus pulls up. People file on. A neighbor in a blue jacket walks a small dog. The city moves at its own pace. She feels the old edge of fear and then feels it pass. The kettle clicks off. She eats toast with too much jelly. She wipes the counter with a slow circle. She pulls the trash bag tight and sets it by the door. She makes a simple rule. One thing per hour that moves life forward. Wash a bottle. Pay one bill. Text the aunt. Call the pediatrician. Rest for 10 minutes with eyes closed. She can do that. She writes the rule on a sticky note and attaches it to the fridge. By mid-morning, the apartment carries a hum. The laundry spins. A pot of soup she started from frozen stock begins to thaw. The phone rings once with a spam filter and then goes quiet. She picks up the baby and walks the new path across the floor. Step around the basket. Turn left at the crib. Stop by the window to check the light. Sit. Breathe. Feed. Burp. Repeat. She thinks of the car again. The second belt still hangs loose. It can stay like that. She does not need to look at it to know what it means. She does not need to explain it to anyone. The chair by the crib is warm now from her body. The rhythm is plain. It holds. On the table, the stack of bills looks smaller once sorted. She pays one online and schedules another for next week. She writes the amounts in a notebook with a blue pen. The numbers are not friendly, but they are honest. She can work with honest. The baby wakes, studies her face for a long moment, and then grins in a slow, gummy way that breaks through the haze. She feels something settle inside her. It is not a grand feeling. It is a steady one. She kisses the small forehead and places the baby against her shoulder. Afternoon leans into evening. The window turns the color of dishwater and then fades to dark. Lamps click on across the street. She turns on the small lamp by the chair. The circle of light is enough. She picks up her phone and scrolls past the old thread without opening it. She opens a new one to herself and writes three words. We are okay. She tucks the baby in and stands there until the small breaths even out. In the quiet, she opens the notes app again and reads the short list. It is not angry. It is clear. She adds a period to the end of his name, then closes the file and turns off the lamp. Chapter 2, Paper and Soup. She studies the form at the kitchen table. The baby sleeps in a slow, steady way that lets the clock fade. The line for last name waits. She writes the name that will hold. It is hers. It is steady. She signs, dates, and checks the boxes twice. At the city office, plastic chairs line the wall. A number slips from the dispenser and curls in her hand. When the clerk calls her, she passes the papers through the slot. The clerk scans and stamps. A copy slides back to her. You're all set, the clerk says. She nods and tucks the copy into the folder. Rain starts as she steps outside. She pulls the thin hood over her hair and walks to the bus. The folder rides under her arm. The bus lurches and stops. She watches the drops race each other down the window and thinks about the small box on the form now filled. The name is done. The choice is clear. Back home, she lays the folder in a drawer. She writes the date on a sticky note and sticks it to the front. The apartment is warm. The baby blinks awake and stretches. She lifts the small body and sways. The day feels sorted by one clean line and a signature. Late afternoon, there is a knock. The neighbor from across the hall stands with a pot wrapped in a towel and a tiny knit hat on top. Chicken noodle, the neighbor says. And this fit my grandson once. The hat is the size of her palm. She thanks her and tries not to cry. You knock if you need anything, the neighbor says. Sundays I make extra. The door closes. The apartment smells like soup and kindness. She warms a small bowl and eats standing up. The broth slides down and settles the ache in her chest. She washes the bowl and sets the pot in the fridge. The tiny hat waits on the counter. She fits it over soft hair. It sits a little crooked. She smiles and leaves it that way. Her aunt calls in the early evening. I can drive you to the clinic or the store, her aunt says. I keep extra diapers in the trunk. Tell me what size. She names a size. Done, her aunt says. I will swing by tomorrow. The call ends. Relief lands like a chair pulled out for her. Later, a text pings from a coworker who checked in after the birth. There's a mom's group. They trade night shifts and extra onesies. They meet on Thursdays at the library room. Want me to pass your number? She looks at the baby asleep on her chest and thinks about the next night and the night after that. Yes, she types. Please. She sets a small plan for the week on one page. Call pediatrician. Start a grocery list. Meet the group on Thursday. Ask the neighbor about the best bus route to the clinic. One thing per hour if possible. Rest when the baby sleeps, even if the floor needs sweeping. She can adjust, but the shapes help. Morning brings the aunt at the door with a trunk full of practical love. Diapers, wipes, a pack of burp cloths, and a car seat mirror, so she can see the baby from the driver's seat. You ride up front when I am here, the aunt says. You sleep when I am here. I can fold laundry. They sit for a while. The aunt tells a story about her first month with twins and how she learned to nap with shoes on. They laugh. The laugh opens the room. On Thursday, she times the feeding and packs a small bag. The library room holds a circle of chairs, a slow fan, and a pile of toys in a bin. A woman with kind eyes waves her over. I'm Tasha, the woman says. Sit here. We're swapping later. What size is yours wearing? She answers and finds a bag passed to her with zippered pajamas and two soft blankets. A sign-up sheet moves around for night check-ins. She writes her name on two spaces next week and writes her number next to it. They talk about bottles that do not leak and how to tell if a fever is a fever. They share the names of nurses who listen. They trade three jokes about sleep that land because everyone understands the punchline. She learns a simple trick for gas. She learns a recipe for cheap oatmeal that tastes good with apple slices. She leaves with two new numbers in her phone and a plan for a late-night text if the baby will not settle. The week shapes itself around these pieces. A bus at 9. A ride from her aunt on Saturday. Soup on Sunday from the neighbor who now knocks without asking. The folder in the drawer feels less heavy because it represents a choice, not a worry. She cleans the tiny hat and tucks it in a basket by the door with the other little things they will grow past. She keeps her notes brief. Call clinic and book the two-week check. Ask Tasha about a stroller swap. Bring soup container back, return with banana bread. The list looks simple and real. Each line is a step that belongs to this day and no other. At night, she texts the coworker a thank you. The coworker replies with a thumbs up and a promise to visit next week with coffee. She sets her phone on the counter and looks around the room. The couch, the chair, the crib, the path across the floor. It all sits the way she left it. It feels like a place made by hand. The baby breathes in a slow, even way. She places a blanket over the small legs and tucks the edge under the feet. She turns off the lamp and leaves the hallway light on. Before she sleeps, she opens the drawer and touches the copy of the certificate. The name on the line looks steady in the dark. She closes the drawer. The pot waits for Sunday. The library room waits for Thursday. The phone holds numbers that belong to her now. She lays down and lets her shoulders drop. The village is small, but it is here. Chapter 3, The Test. The text arrives at 9 in the morning. No hello. No congratulations. I want a paternity test. She reads it twice. She feels the old rush and lets it pass. She opens a new note and writes the time and the words he used. She takes a screenshot and saves it to a folder she named Records. She drinks water. She feeds the baby. She waits 10 minutes before she answers. Okay, she replies. We will use a certified lab. We will set a date this month. We will split the cost. All communication stays in writing. She adds, I will confirm details by end of week. She hits send and puts the phone face down. The day continues in small tasks. Wake, feed, nap, breathe. She washes two bottles. She folds three onesies. She pays one bill and writes the confirmation number in her notebook. The baby sleeps with one hand open like a starfish. The room is quiet and steady. He replies an hour later. Cool. Name the place. She feels the edge in the message and ignores it. I will send options by Friday, she types. We will pick one and meet there with ID. She takes another screenshot and saves it. She calls her aunt and keeps her voice even. He wants a test, she says. Good, her aunt says. Make a plan. Keep receipts. Do not fight by phone. They agree on a ride for the day of the appointment. They agree to bring copies of what is needed. They hang up and the air feels lighter. She checks the baby's diaper. Clean. She starts a pot of oatmeal. She adds sliced apple and a little cinnamon. She eats at the table and stares at the folder in the drawer without reaching for it. The name in that folder is not up for debate. The test is about paperwork and proof. At noon, she calls two labs. She asks simple questions. Do you offer legal tests? What is the price? What ID is needed? How long for results? She writes the answers in her notebook with the date and the name of the person who spoke. She thanks them and ends the calls. She drafts a message to him with two options, dates, and times. She keeps the sentences short and clear. Option 1. Tuesday, 10 in the morning. Option 2. Thursday, 2 in the afternoon. Both are legal tests. Bring ID. She adds, confirm by tomorrow noon. She reads it once more and sends it. The baby wakes and she lifts him into the light. They sit in the chair and move through their rhythm. Feed. Burp. Change. Hold. She hums a small tune she does not know the words to. He settles and rests his head against her shoulder. The weight feels right. She opens her notes app and adds a line to her rules. Do not chase. Do not rush. Write it all down. She scrolls the messages with him and stops at her last clean response. She feels no need to say more. Near evening, he writes back. Thursday works. No question mark. No offer to help. She replies with the full address, the room number, and the name of the contact. I will be there at 1:55, she adds. Please be on time. She takes a screenshot and files it in her folder. She packs a small bag for the test day. Two diapers. Wipes. A spare onesie. A bottle already measured. A light blanket. Her ID and the baby's card in a clear sleeve. She adds a pen. She adds a tiny book with thick pages. She zips the bag and sets it by the door. The night is simple. She washes the last bottle and leaves it to dry. She wipes the counter in slow circles. She checks the lock on the front door and turns off lights one by one. She sits in the chair until the baby's breath evens out. The room holds the steady sound. Thursday comes. Her aunt honks once from the street. She secures the baby in the car seat and grabs the bag. We will be early, her aunt says. Good, she answers. They drive without music. Traffic flows and stalls and then clears again. At the lab, the lobby is plain. Chairs in a row. A plant that needs water. A clock that ticks loud enough to keep time for everyone. She hands over her ID. She signs three lines. She notes what she signs on her paper. Her aunt sits close and keeps the bag. He arrives at 1:58. He looks at his phone before he looks at the baby. He nods at her and keeps his voice low. Let's get this done. She nods back. We will go in order, she says. No photos. He shrugs and puts the phone away. The technician calls them in. The swab is quick and clean. The baby fusses, then settles with the small book in hand. She holds him steady and thanks the technician by name. She notes the time. She notes the order of the swabs. She breathes out and feels her shoulders drop. Outside the room, he tries to make small talk. He looks like me, he says. She keeps her tone even. We will have results soon, she says. I will confirm next steps by text. He shifts his weight. I want to be in his life, he adds. She nods once. That takes time and a plan, she says. We will talk when the results arrive. They walk to the door together and then split. He moves toward the elevator. She walks to her aunt's car. The sun sits low and makes the sidewalk warm. The baby sleeps before the engine starts. Back home, she sends a brief message. Thank you for being on time. I will let you know when results are in. He replies with a thumbs up. She takes one last screenshot and closes the thread. The rest of the day falls into place. Wake, feed, nap, breathe. She wipes the table and moves the bag back to its hook. She eats the last bowl of soup and makes a note to return the pot with banana bread. She folds the tiny hat and sets it on the shelf. She opens the folder on her phone and scrolls through the record. Screenshots with dates. Notes with times. Names of clerks and techs. It all feels orderly. It all belongs to this lane. Night comes fast. She reads a board book aloud and points to bright shapes. The baby grabs one corner and tries to eat the moon. She laughs and kisses his hair. She turns off the lamp and listens to a quiet that is not empty. It is earned. Before sleep, she opens her list and adds one line. Proof is coming. The plan remains. She sets the phone face down and closes her eyes. The day did not ask for more than she had. The room holds steady. The rhythm is plain and strong. Chapter 4, The Juggle. Work calls on a Tuesday morning. The manager's voice is careful. "We would love to have you back when you are ready," she says. "We can start you with shorter shifts." She thanks her and asks for 2 weeks to set care. They agree to check in on Friday. She opens her notebook and writes the words daycare list. She calls the first number from a flyer on the library board. The slot manager is kind but clear. "Wait list," the woman says. 8 to 12 weeks. She writes it down. She calls the next place. Same answer. She adds her name and the babies to each list and asks what they need from her. The mom's group text thread lights up when she asks about care. 3 names arrive fast. A church program that takes infants part-time. A home daycare 2 bus lines away. A neighbor's cousin who is licensed and sometimes has 1 opening. She writes all 3 and sends 2 short messages to ask about visits. Money shapes the next part of the day. She makes coffee and opens the rent envelope. She writes the number on her page and draws a box next to it. Then she lists formula, diapers, wipes, utilities, and bus passes. She adds a second box for each one. Boxes make it easier to see progress. She can fill 1 at a time. On lunch, she sets the baby in the swing and opens the laptop. The forms feel long. She reads each line and answers what is true. Income. Rent. Dependents. She uploads the baby's card and a photo of the birth certificate copy. She hits save after each page. When the site gives her a confirmation number, she writes it down in blue ink. She reads the number out loud to make sure it is right. Her pride rises once. She lets it speak and then asks it to sit down. The baby needs formula. The rent needs to be paid on time so the home stays the home. Help exists for this exact moment. She chooses the practical path and keeps moving. Her aunt stops by with a second car seat base and a bag of cereal bars. "For your bag on work days," the aunt says. "So you do not skip eating." They plan a trial run. Aunt at the apartment by 7:30 in the morning. A practice handoff. A bus ride to work and back. A test of how long each leg takes when traffic is not kind. She maps the route. Apartment to bus to transfer to work. Work back to transfer to home. She writes the time at each stop and adds 5 minutes for delays. She writes a second plan for rain and a third plan if the bus breaks down. The pages look busy, but they calm her. She calls the church program and sets a visit. The room is clean, bright, and smells like wipes. The caregiver kneels to greet the baby and talks through the rules. Clear bags for bottles. A label on each item. She nods and takes the checklist. The program has a wait list. The director adds her to it with a pen. "We shuffle often," the director says. "I will call if a spot opens." The home daycare is farther. 2 rooms, a tidy yard, and a woman who keeps careful notes. "We read after snack," the woman says. "We nap after lunch. Spots are full this month. Maybe next," the woman adds. She writes her name on a second wait list and thanks her. At night, she opens a new tab and checks her hours. She writes a modest return to work plan. 2 short shifts next week. 3 the week after that. She writes, "Ask manager for mid shifts, because nights would break the baby's rhythm and mornings would clash with the clinic and forms." She texts the manager. "Could we try 10 to 2 for the first week?" The reply is quick. "Yes, we will make it work." She learns to pack the diaper bag with her lunch. Bottle, burp cloth, wipes, spare onesie, and a sandwich for herself. She puts the car seat by the door and the stroller folded next to it. She lays out her shirt for work and sets her shoes under the chair. Night before habits lower morning stress. She writes that sentence on a sticky note and sticks it to the fridge. The aunt arrives for the practice handoff. They review the list. Feed times. Nap window. The way the baby calms when you tap twice and hum low. Her aunt smiles and says, "Go. Take the bus. I will text you at each feed." She steps into the hall and feels how strange it is to move without the carrier. The elevator hums. The city sounds bigger without the soft weight against her chest. She times the walk to the stop. She notes the bus arrival. She sits by the window and watches the city that held her last year now hold her and a child. At the transfer, she checks her phone. A photo arrives. The baby on a blanket, cheeks full, eyes bright. "Fed on time," the caption says. She breathes easier and boards the next bus. At work, The break room smells like coffee and stale sugar. The manager meets her by the schedule board. "We have you for 2 days next week," she says. 10 to 2. "We can add a third if you feel ready." She nods and thanks her. She walks the floor and says hello to 2 co-workers. One presses a folded note in her hand. "Numbers for another daycare," the co-worker says. "My sister used them." She pockets the note and keeps moving. She clocks out and takes the long way back to practice the route with a delay. She stands at a stop that does not list arrival times. She takes a photo of the route map and adds it to her folder. She waits. She watches the sky shift. The bus comes. She squeezes on and finds a spot near the door. This is doable. At home, her aunt gives a brief report. 2 feeds. 1 nap. 1 long stretch of curious staring at the ceiling fan. "He likes the white blanket," her aunt says. "He does not like the green bottle." They laugh and adjust the list. She writes "white blanket for naps" and "use the clear bottle in the morning." That night, she completes a 2nd set of forms. 1 for a childcare subsidy. 1 for a rent support review. Each form wants similar facts. She copies carefully and checks every date twice. When the site asks for proof, she uploads the schedule screenshot and her last pay stub from before leave. When it asks for a name to contact at work, she writes the manager's name. She keeps it all in the same folder on her laptop and in a paper folder by the door. The mom's group meets again. She brings banana bread in a plastic container and returns the soup pot, washed and shiny. Tasha waves her over. "I heard a spot might open at the church program next month," Tasha says. "I told them you are steady and clear." She squeezes Tasha's hand and tries not to cry. "Thank you," she says. "I will be ready if they call." The next morning, she practices a work day. Up early. Feed. Dress. Pack bag. Hand off. Bus. Clock in. She eats the cereal bar at 10:30 a.m. She drinks water. At noon, she calls the subsidy office and stays on hold until a voice explains the next step. She writes the list and repeats it back. Then she returns to the floor and finishes the shift. On the ride home, she counts the boxes she can fill. Half of rent. Done. Utilities. Done. Formula. Done. Diapers. Done. She leaves the bus with a list that looks less sharp and more like a path. She gets a call that evening. The home daycare has 1 short-term opening. 2 days a week. She can take it or pass. She says yes. She moves 2 of her shifts to match the days and texts the manager to confirm. The manager adjusts the schedule in minutes and sends a new screenshot. She files it in the folder on her phone. She ends the week with the folder heavier and her shoulders lighter. Waitlists are still long. Money is still tight. The path is still narrow. But there is a shape to it now. Church program on the horizon. Home daycare for 2 days. Aunt for 1. She can work with that. At night, she lays out 2 tiny outfits on the chair. 1 for daycare days. 1 for aunt days. She labels the bottles with the baby's name and the date. She slips the schedule into a plastic sleeve and tapes it inside the diaper bag. She sets her keys in a bowl and backs up the folder on her phone. Before she sleeps, she opens her list of rules and adds 1 more line. Protect the routine. She looks around the room. The path across the floor. The chair. The crib. The bag by the door. The week ahead feels possible. She turns off the lamp and sits for a moment in the dark. The baby breathes steady in the crib. She traces the next few days in her head. Work at 10. Bus at 9:15. Daycare drop at 9. Lunch at 12. Pickup at 2:30. Home by 3. She repeats it once, softly, like a promise she can keep. The room is quiet. The plan is clear. Tomorrow will ask for the same steady steps, and she is ready to take them. Chapter 5, Unannounced. He knocks at 2 in the afternoon. The baby is due to nap. She opens the door a few inches and sees his phone in his hand. "I want a quick photo," he says. "My family is asking." She steps into the hall and pulls the door behind her. "No photos," she says. "We keep the routine." He shifts his weight and looks at the floor. "I am under pressure," he says. "Work is wild. Everyone wants updates." "We can talk," she says. "We keep it short." He nods and pockets the phone. "I want to be present," he says. "The timing has been rough." She keeps her voice even. "Presence looks like time," she says. "Not posts." She lays out the terms in clear lines. 1 hour a week on the same day. The library room or the park. On time. Bring what the baby needs. No photos. No drop-ins. He blinks and rubs the back of his neck. That feels strict, he says. My schedule jumps. The schedule here does not, she says. Nap at 2:30 p.m. feed at 5. We protect that. She looks at the door and then back at him. If you want in, you plan around the baby. He asks for a photo again. One for my mother, he says. She shakes her head. We start with time, she says. You earn trust. Photos come later. He takes a breath and lets it out slow. She offers the first step. Next Thursday. 3 to 4 p.m. library room, she says. Text me by noon to confirm. If you miss it, we reset the week. He nods once, but his eyes move. I can try, he says. Try is not a plan, she says. Yes or no by noon. Keep it in writing. He looks at the door like he might ask to come in. She does not move. The baby shifts inside and lets out a small sound. He tucks his phone deeper in his pocket. I need to go, he says. Work called. She nods. I will text you the details, she says. Same rules as the test. Clear, short, written. He glances at the peephole as if it holds a view of the baby and then walks to the elevator. Inside, the room is dim and calm. She lifts the baby and sways. The clock reads 2:20. She hums the tune that always settles him. His eyes close by 2:25. When the nap starts, she sends the message. Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m., library community room. Bring wipes, bottle, and a clean shirt. No photos. Confirm by noon. She adds, if you are late, the hour ends at 4. He replies 10 minutes later. Okay. She saves the thread to the folder and turns the phone face down. The baby breathes in a steady way that fills the room with quiet. She writes one more line in her notebook. Door is open with rules. She draws a small box next to the word Thursday. The box is empty for now. The week will answer if it fills. Chapter 6, Fever Night. At 2 in the morning, the baby feels hot against her shoulder. She presses her lips to his forehead and knows it is not her imagination. She finds the small thermometer and waits for the beep. 101.8. She breathes in and out. She calls the clinic line and sits on hold. The music is thin and bright. She rocks in a slow rhythm and lays a cool cloth across his neck. The hold message repeats. She checks the label on the fever drops and reads each line twice. When the nurse answers, she gives the number, the age, and the time. The nurse speaks in a calm voice and tells her what to watch for. She repeats the steps back to prove she heard. By 4, the fever has eased a little. He sleeps in short stretches. She does not. She watches the rise and fall and keeps the cloth cool. She drinks water from a chipped glass and stares at the clock. When the sun shows, the room looks the same, but she feels worn thin. Her shift starts at 10. She texts her aunt at 7. Fever last night. I will try to make work. The aunt replies that she can come by at 9. They agree to watch the morning and see. She feeds the baby while the kettle clicks. He takes the bottle slow and heavy with sleep. At 8:30, the clinic texts back with a time to call for a same-day check. She dials and waits again. The line crawls. She gives her name and the night number. The voice on the other end is kind but firm. They are full. She should keep watching and bring him in if the number climbs or if he will not drink. She writes the advice in her notebook and reads it once more. 9 comes fast. Her aunt arrives with a soft knock and clean hands. Go, the aunt says. I will text you each hour. She kisses the baby's hair and steps into the hall. The elevator takes too long. The bus pulls up as she turns the corner. She runs and reaches the door as it closes. The driver shakes his head. She watches it roll away. The next bus is late. The app shows one time and then changes it. She waits with two other riders who stare at the road like it owes them. She checks her phone. A photo arrives. The baby looks tired but calm. Her aunt writes that he took 2 ounces and is back down. She exhales and looks up the street. No bus. When it comes, the seats are full. She stands and holds the strap. The ride stops and starts and eats the minutes. At the transfer, she sees the second bus pull away before she reaches the curb. She texts her manager. Running late. Baby had a fever. I am on my way. The reply is quick and kind. Do what you need. We will cover. She keeps going anyway. The clock does not care about effort. She arrives 20 minutes after the hour and still has 2 blocks to go. She stops by a small market to buy a water and breathes against a metal shelf. The numbers in her head do not bend. She texts her manager again. I will miss the shift. I am sorry. the reply comes back fast. It is okay. Take care of him. We will try again next week. She walks back to the stop with slow steps. The bus home takes longer than the ride out. Traffic thickens near noon. She sits by the window and lets the city pass. Her phone buzzes with a gentle update. Wet diaper. Temp a little lower. A short nap after a song. At home, she hugs her aunt and listens to the report. Two small feeds. One nap. One warm forehead that cooled after a cloth. They trade places. Her aunt leaves a container of soup on the counter and squeezes her shoulder before she goes. In the bathroom, she turns on the fan and lets herself cry. It is not loud. It is not long. The tears land and stop. She splashes water on her face and pats dry with a clean towel. The baby needs a bottle. She makes it without shaking. The afternoon moves in short steps. Feed. Wipe. Check the number. It sits lower now. She writes it down with the time. She texts her manager a thank you and adds that she will send her next week's plan. The reply is steady and kind again. By evening, the baby's eyes are clearer. He grabs the corner of a board book and waves it like a flag. She laughs and kisses the small hand. She washes the thermometer tip and sets it by the sink. She throws the cloth in the wash and starts a small load. Dinner is soup with crackers. She eats in the chair with the baby resting on her legs. The room is quiet except for the hum of the washer. She checks the clinic notes one more time and reads the signs to watch for. He drinks well. He looks at her and holds the gaze. She lets her shoulders drop. Night comes soft. She lays him down and waits for the slow, even breath. She sits on the edge of the tub and counts to 20. She stands and wipes the counter and rinses two bottles. The day did not turn out as planned, but it did not take her under. Before bed, she opens her notebook and writes a single line. The fever passed. We kept the rhythm. She closes the book and the light. The problem came. It moved through. It left. The room holds steady. The plan waits for morning. Chapter 7. The name and the room. The apartment smells like vanilla and dish soap. She ties a paper crown with a loose knot and smooths the tablecloth with the side of her hand. The cake came from the discount shelf, but the frosting looks like clouds. A candle in the shape of a single number waits by the plates. The neighbor knocks first with a plastic tub of pasta and a pack of napkins. Happy big day, she says, and sets everything down with a grin. The aunt arrives next with a bag of diapers, a stack of paper cups, and the same calm she always brings. Tasha follows with two moms from the group. They carry a small bag of onesies and a secondhand board book that still looks new. The baby watches from the high chair, eyes bright, legs kicking. She tapes a paper banner to the shelf and laughs when it tilts to one side. It can stay like that. The room carries a light that feels earned. They sing. The candle flame bends and then goes out. She helps a small hand touch the frosting. A smear lands on the high chair tray and then on her wrist. Everyone laughs. Someone starts a second song that turns into clapping. The hallway echoes with it, and a door down the hall opens a crack to listen. She takes a photo with everyone in the frame. No one is missing who wants to be here. The couch holds a line of coats. The coffee table holds cups and plates, and the little board book with a bear on the front. She looks around and breathes in. The scene is not fancy. It is full. After cake, the neighbor wipes the counter while the aunt rinses plates. The moms swap phone numbers with a new member who came with Tasha. They trade a stroller tip and a low-price shop for socks. Someone writes a clinic name on a sticky note and sticks it to the fridge for later. The apartment hums like a small machine that works. Her phone vibrates on the counter. His name on the screen. Can we talk about me being present? The text reads. She looks at the baby. She looks at the people washing dishes and stacking cups. She feels steady. She steps into the bedroom for privacy and types. We can talk. Same rules. Time, not posts. A plan with clear days. No drop-ins. No photos yet. She adds. The child's schedule comes first. That means nap at 1, dinner at 5, bath at 7. She ends with, propose 2 weekly windows that you can keep for 3 months. He replies a minute later. Sundays are hard. Work is wild. Maybe I can swing every other week. She reads it twice. The line about work is old. The part about every other week is new. Every other week can be a start, she writes. Library room or park, 1 hour, same time. Confirm day and time by tomorrow at noon. She adds, if you miss a week, we try again the next. No unplanned visits. All changes in writing. She sends the message and walks back into the room. The aunt sets a small gift on the table. It is a simple frame with space for 3 photos. She slides the party photo into the first slot and leaves the other 2 empty. "For what comes next?" the aunt says. "You can choose the moments." They eat pasta and laugh about cake on tiny fingers. The baby babbles at the bare book and bangs it once on the tray like a drum. She wipes a smear of frosting from her arm and thinks about the message she sent. It felt clear. It felt like the life she is building. The neighbor gathers her things and hugs her at the door. "Sundays," the neighbor says. "Soup. You know the drill." Tasha holds the baby while she ties another trash bag and thanks her for the church program lead, even if it has not opened yet. "It will," Tasha says. "We keep asking. We keep showing up." When the door closes, the apartment is quiet again. She wipes the last plate and sets it upside down to dry. She stacks the crowns in a bowl like flowers and leaves them on the table. She places the frame on the shelf where she will see it while she makes coffee. Her phone buzzes with one more message. "Every other Thursday at 3, he writes. 1 hour. I can do that." She answers, confirmed. She adds the time to the calendar and sets an alert. She writes the new step in her notebook with a small box next to it. The box does not mean trust. It means structure. Late afternoon light slides across the floor. The baby holds the edge of the chair and rocks on his feet. He looks at her with a face that looks like sleepy joy. She kneels in front of him and opens her arms. He steps. One small step. Then another. Wobble. Catch. A breath held and released. He falls forward the safe way into her, and she wraps him close. The room tilts with that quiet rush that feels like a win. She laughs and says, "You did it," low and steady, so it does not scare him. She sets him down and lets him try again. He takes 2 steps and then 3. He reaches for the coffee table, then changes his mind and heads toward the chair instead. The floor shows the path they wore into it this year. It is the same wood with a new shine. She sends a single message to the aunt. "He walked," she writes. The reply arrives fast. "I knew it would be today," the aunt says. "I could feel it." She smiles and looks at the frame. One of the empty slots now has a candidate. Evening is simple. Bath at 7. The bare book twice. A second clean bottle, and then the small hum she always uses to settle him. He watches her face, then the ceiling, then her face again. The last light in the hallway turns the room soft. She tidies the living room without thinking. Bottles to the rack. Toys to the bin. Wipes stacked. She leaves 1 paper crown on the shelf beside the frame. It sits a little crooked. It can stay like that. Her phone lights up once more. A message from him. "Thanks for today," he writes. "I will see you next Thursday." She replies with 3 words. "See you then." That is enough for tonight. She stands by the crib and listens for the slow, even breath. The room holds the day like a clear glass. She thinks about the year. The car seat by the door. The second belt left loose. The folder in the drawer. The soup on Sundays. The long holds with clinic music. The bus that left and the one that came. The names she wrote on waitlists and the boxes she filled in blue ink. She thinks about the last name on the mailbox. It is a word that helps the world sort forms. It is not the measure of the room. This room is measured in clean bottles, steady hands, and a path across the floor that she could walk in the dark without stubbing her toe. It is measured in the neighbor's knock and the aunt's trunk and the moms who speak in low voices that carry strength. She sits in the chair and lets the day end. She writes 1 line in her notebook. The home is the truth. She closes the book and sets it on the table by the lamp. In the silence, she feels the ground under both feet. The fear from those first nights is gone. It did not leave all at once. It stepped back the way the baby stepped forward. 1 step, then another. Wobble, catch, laugh, breathe. She turns off the lamp and leaves the hall light on. The picture frame waits on the shelf with 1 photo filled and 2 to come. The crown tilts. The air is calm. A year ago, the second seat in the car sat empty. Tonight, there is no empty seat in this home.